paperback. It's the Kate and Roger series by author John D. Hoffman. The first book in the series is The House Built on the Hill Can't Be Here. And it's also a movie.
Roger, that's the man I wanted to see. Could you come in for a sec?
What is it, boss?
I know this is your wife's office. I didn't want to give you bad news. But the contract that I had has changed and they've cut my pay. So, effective immediately, I'm going to have to cut you and your wife's pay as well. I'm not going to be able to pass the salary.
The full movie trailer can be viewed now on YouTube, and the complete movie will be ready in 2024. The second book in the series is Oh No Man Nothing But to Love Him, and it's also a movie. The book is available now on Amazon.com, along with his newly released Wealth Transfer book and movie, which is the third book of the Kate and Roger series. The Kate and Roger series by John D. Hoffman. Available now on Amazon.com. Author John D. Hoffman is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. The children of God say amen. You may be seated. The children of God say amen again. Amen. Are you excited to be in God's house this morning? Has God done anything for you in your life? Has God showed himself favorable to you in your life? If you have breath, you might as well praise the Lord. Because the Bible says that let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Amen, amen. To the honorable pastor of this house, my brother, my good friend, G. Tamel Hams, let's acknowledge him in his house this morning. Amen. To all those who proclaim the gospel message, and to all the officers and visitors and friends, it is good to be in God's house once again. Amen. And let us praise God for our honorees this morning, these graduates. You don't appreciate it. These graduates, all of these youth who have accomplished things. We have some young people who have returned from their first year in college. That's a testimony within itself. They went off to college and they still believe in Jesus. Amen. They ain't gone to college and lost their mind. Amen, amen, amen. We have so many things to be thankful for this morning. And I'm not sure if we even realize it. Sometimes God just gives it to us so freely, and we don't have to do anything to earn it, that it just makes us feel like God just owes us something. But I came to tell you that God is still a good God, and he does not have to do anything. Amen. But every blessing that we have is simply because God chose to bless us. Amen? Amen. In the past months or so, the church body was in a study on the book of Romans, and it's beautiful in those first 11 chapters how Paul educates us and tells us about the things that God has done for us, about how God has justified us, and that even though we were guilty, that God found us innocent through his son's blood. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation. That even though you are guilty of everything that you have done, God has not sentenced you to death. That every evil sin that you've committed, every evil thought that you've had, it should have sent you straight to hell. But because of God's love for you, and because of the grace of God, God gives you and gives me life that I don't deserve. God has taken away the sting of death from us. And now because of his son, Jesus Christ, that all we had to do is just simply believe in him and we can be saved. That's good news for the believer this morning, because God has not required you and I to be perfect. God has not required us to be flawless. But because God loved us so much, he sent his son. And if you simply believe in his son, you will be saved from the wrath of God. The reason that we don't appreciate that this morning is because we've never had to experience the wrath of God. We think that the wrath of God is tornadoes coming. We think that the wrath of God is fires coming. But the wrath of God is nothing in comparison to that. We cannot even understand or fathom the wrath of God. Look at your attitude this morning. Look at your disposition this morning. Look at how we've approached worship this morning. God has not killed us, and he has not unleashed his wrath on us. Not because of how good we are, but because of the grace of God. He loves us in spite of us. And the best thing that we can do is appreciate God and live for God, even with your ratchet, messed up, hellacious self. Your salvation was not earned by you. You didn't come to church enough to earn your salvation. You hadn't been a preacher long enough to earn your salvation. But you received salvation as a free gift from God. That no matter what the world has to say about you, you are still saved. No matter how you feel about yourself, you are still the redeemed of God. And when God redeemed you, that means that he didn't just get you, but he purchased you with a price. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Please stand to your feet. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This has been the theme scripture for our youth ministry this year. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now, did I do a decent job of explaining to you in summation of Romans 1 through 11? Do you understand that? You understand that, how this church really should be on fire this morning because of Romans 1 through 11, right? Amen. Are y'all with me? Because your response to what I was telling you about the doctrine of Christianity was bland. But we're about to investigate some things to see if God can help us this morning. Is that all right? Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. The word of God reads, I beseech ye, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Thank you. You may be seated. I beseech ye. I urge ye. I beg you. After Romans 1 through 11, I beg you. After you know how good God has been to you, I beg you. After God has shown you how he redeemed you, he loved you so much that he bought you, I beg you. For the time that is ours together, brothers and sisters, I want to deal with the thought, too blessed to be beseeched. Too blessed to be beseeched. If you've been paying attention to the news lately, brothers and sisters, there's been a lot of talk about political bans. The most recent major topic concerning bans was the ban on abortion. I believe it may have been in Alabama, I want to say, where they passed a law banning abortion. There is much political debate about banning certain type of guns, because guns have become a problem. And now the liberals feel as if a ban on guns can help stop mass shootings. There has even been a ban on prayer in schools, because it's believed that if you pray in school, you're forcing your religion on somebody else. And so therefore, it's been proposed and it's also been passed that we need to ban prayer in school. There's been so much political uproar, so much political debate, so much political calamity based upon what needs to be banned and what needs to be accepted. But I'm not a legislator and I'm not a president, but I have a proposed ban that we need to propose here in New Zion Baptist Church this morning. And I believe that New Zion is not the only church that needs to propose this ban. But I believe from what I experience and what I see in churches all throughout America, that there needs to be a ban on begging people. In the church house, people have to be begged to praise God. In the church house, people have to be begged to serve in ministry. In the church house, people have to be begged to show up on time. But if you really know what God has done for you, and you really know what God desires to do in you, no one should have to stand up here and put on a pep rally for us on Sunday mornings. We should come into the church, brothers and sisters, on fire. We should come in ready to praise God with all of our hearts and with all of our bodies and with all of our mights. But yet and still, what we find ourselves doing in the God's house in 2019 is that God, people who God has still been good to, people who God has blessed, people who God have redeemed, people who God have delivered, people who God have set free, people who God has brought out, people who God has healed, people who God have delivered, still have to be begged. You have to beg you to show up to church. We have to put on a certain program for you to show up to church. We have to give you something for you to show up to church. We have to celebrate you in order for you to show up in church. But God sent me on assignment this morning that from this day forth, there will be a begging ban in the house of God. No longer will we shut down on God. No longer will we act like God owes us something. But every day we wake up, we need to wake up with an attitude of gratitude. God, if you save me, I will serve you. God, if you heal me, I will serve you. God, if you've delivered me, I will serve you. Am I by myself in the house this morning that no one has to beg me no more? But every chance I get, every time God gives me mercy, every time God brings me out, you ain't gonna be able to shut me up. I don't care who's looking. I don't care who's watching. I don't care who has something to say about it. But I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, look at you this morning. You so hard to impress this morning. It's so hard to make you feel good this morning. It's so hard to make you show up this morning. I show up when I feel like showing up, and I come when I feel like coming, and I come with an attitude when I want to come, because I'm just that big and bad. But let me tell you something this morning. If God wanted to take you out, he can just speak and take you out right now. So while you have breath in your body, while you have activity of your limb, you better show up to this house expecting God to move in your life. Every time the doors open, you better show up with your pencil and pad. You better show up with a praise on your lips. You better show up with love in your heart, because God gave you another chance. Oh, you're sitting there critiquing service this morning. You're sitting there critiquing service this morning. You're sitting there saying that, oh, it's the kids' Sunday to sing today.
So I'm just going to take my day off. This day here is the baccalaureate service. So our praise is not a mandate in the service today. But despite what's going on in the house, you need to praise because of whose house it is. This is the Lord's house. So despite all of our programs, God is to be worshiped in the house. And he's to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. So if you know who God is in your life, if you know that he saved you, if you know that he sanctifies you, if you know that he justifies you, then you need to be having a praise in your heart. I got my work cut out for me this morning, but it's all right. Believers need to grow beyond being beseeched. You shouldn't have to be begged to show up to church on time. You shouldn't have to have no cake and punch to show up to God's house. You don't have to be awarded to be able to show up at 11 o'clock service. You don't have to be prompted to be on your post on time. You shouldn't have to be prodded to pray for your brothers and sisters. But because you can, I said because you can, serve God and serve him in his house with all of your sins, with all of your jacked up attitudes, with all of your flaws, with all of the scars that you have in your soul, God still lets you show up. So you need to get over yourself and realize that God can do this with somebody else. That if God wanted to use this towel, he can use this towel. But since he decides to use me anyhow, God, you ain't gonna have to beg me. Some of you been through enough in your life already. You've been through enough sickness in your life already. Anybody had any sickness in their body? But guess what? God still has you here. And since you're here, you better get some invigoration in your body. And you better start feeling like it. And even if you don't feel like it, you better do it anyway. So much stuff to appease us now. You have to perform all types of tricks in the church. Maybe if I say praise the Lord, then they'll do it. Maybe if I do this in the service, then they'll be more responsive. Maybe if we put it on social media, they'll start coming to church. Maybe if we make some billboards, they'll start coming to church. Maybe if we start going out to the streets and then turning tricks and serving them wieners and hot dogs, they'll start coming to church. But let me tell you something this morning. Everybody else know where Winnemart is. They know where 34 is. They know where the club is. They know where everything else is. So I declare in the house of God this morning that everybody who's been in Winfield for any amount of time knows exactly where the church of God is. You've been in your chapters 1 through 11 all of your life. God has done so much to you. The school shooting could have happened here in Winfield, but it didn't. The way these streets are going right now, it could happen to your child, but it didn't. We could have a mass funeral this morning because our young people can be dead playing these violent games they're playing. But we're here this morning celebrating. And you mean to tell me that we're going to take it lightly? God said you ain't going to be beseeched no more. I came to encourage you this morning, but God actually sent me on assignment to embarrass you this morning. Because we've been encouraged a lot. But God told me so clearly in my study time that when they leave here today, they need to be embarrassed. Because as good as I've been to you and as many chances I have given you, that's the best effort that you can give. The bullet passed over your house, and that's the best effort that you can give. The shooting skipped Winfield Senior High School, and that's the best that you can give. Church shootings going all across the land, but New Zion is safe and secure, and this is the best that you can give. You could be dead. The tornado could have came and wiped us out, but that's the best that you can give. Shame on you this morning. You're too blessed to be beseeched. Can I have an argument myself for a little while? About this first verse of Romans chapter 12. And I promise you I'm going to be out your way. I beg you. I would have been all right if you said, I expect you. But Paul, after he did all that explaining, Paul must have knew who he was talking to. He must have knew that he was talking to some people similar to New Zion. That it's like a what have you done for me lately type of people. That God should heal me back then, but okay, that's over with now. I'm looking for something new. So Paul had to say, I beseech thee. And he says that I beseech thee by the mercies of God. I'm in my argument already. If you look at that word mercy, it looks like it's a plural word. It looks like it's saying multiple mercies. But it really comes from the Greek arctamos, which means an inward love. Can I work with it for a while? It's saying that it's not plurality, but it's really a place. It's saying that I beseech you based upon the mercies or the love that God has for you deep down on the inside. If you look at that word even closer, it's describing a visceral location. Can I teach you for a while? Visceral refers to something deep down in your abdomen. And it says that I beseech you by the internal reaction that God has for you. So what I'm suggesting in point number one is that the reason that you're here this morning is because God had an intestinal reaction. I feel like working a little bit this morning. A visceral reaction is really something similar to when we say that we catch butterflies. When you have butterflies or for someone, that means that every time you see them, you get a little nervousness on the inside. Have you ever known somebody that you really didn't like that much? And somebody who made you so mad that every time you saw them or you heard their name mentioned, it made your stomach kind of turn? A visceral reaction, brothers and sisters, is a physical reaction to a non-physical event. So if I'm in love with somebody, what's on the inside of me is impacted by just simply their presence. Can I bring it closer this morning? God has butterflies when it comes to you. And so every time God sees you, he just gets a funny feeling on the inside. Every time you pray to God and cry out to God, God's inside just filled with compassion. If God had a body, it means that God would almost become nervous when I'm brought by. Because God thinks so highly of me that it causes God to have a reaction on the inside. And if you know anything about your intestinal organs, that anything that happens on the inside of you, at some point and at some time, what's on the inside of you has to come out. And the reason that you're standing here this morning and celebrating your graduation, and the reason this morning that you're celebrating all your scholastic achievements, is not because you're so smart, is not because you're so good, is not because you're so holy, but God had an internal reaction to your presence. So every time God wanted to bless you, it just had to come out of him. Every time you messed up, he could have saw the mistakes, but he saw what he felt something on the inside and said, I just got to throw up some blessings anyway. I know that they don't deserve it, but it's something going on the inside. I know that they cussing out. I know that they drinking. I know that they fornicating, but you just don't know what's going on in my intestines right now. On the outside, I see them filled with sin. On the outside, I see them filled with calamity. But you just don't know what's going on my insides right now. I just love the hell out of them. I just love the mess out of them. The world may want to throw them away, but you just don't know that I just got to throw this thing up. Has God ever thrown up any blessings on you that you know you wasn't deserving of it? You know you could not earn it, but God just had an intestinal reaction. It's a visceral reaction. And we're all this morning recipients simply because God just had a feeling on the inside of him. You thought it was you getting away. God just had a feeling about you on the inside. And guess what? You ain't that pretty. You ever had a friend and you ask that friend, what is it about him? He ugly. He don't work. He tagging your head. But you love him anyway. And you want to tell that friend it's not your business. It's my business. I'm the one who has this feeling for him. I'm the one who has this feeling for her. So despite how you feel that I should not love them, because there's a love for them on the inside of me, I just love them anyway. Come here, let me get you. Every day Satan is trying to accuse you unto God, telling God all of your mistakes, telling God all of your flaws. And guess what? He's right about every last one of them. But God just keeps on telling them that Satan, get thee behind me. Just because they did it, I still love them. They blew their money, but I'll give them more money. They ain't taking care of their bodies, but I'll heal them anyway. They didn't study right, but I'll give them an A anyway. They didn't do everything they were supposed to do, but I'll bless them anyway. You better thank God. That he just has a feeling on the inside. And somebody needs to give God a, he has a feeling on the inside praise this morning. Before you get too happy, it's visceral, but you better be careful because love can make you do some crazy things. When you really got the feelings for somebody, parents, you know that what makes you so mad about your children sometimes is the fact that you love them so much and they still do the opposite of what you told them to do. And if you grew up around Earlene Turner, she had this good old visceral love for her grandchildren that she loved us so much that whenever we did something wrong, you better watch out because any type of weapon that was around, because she let her love for us get the best of her, that she would lash out on us sometime and do more harm to us than good. But let me tell you something this morning, that God has such an intense love for us that even though it's visceral, sometimes it can become violent. I told you earlier about all the tornadoes that came around. If God wanted to, because of the amount of sin that's happening in Winfield, he could have just wiped this whole town out. Because seeing us disobey him has to hurt him. Seeing us go against his ways has to hurt him. Seeing us refuse to praise him has to hurt him. But thanks be to God that he's big enough God to love us, but he's a big enough God to control his love for us. Because loving us has to be hard. Because we cheat on him all the time. We go against his word all the time. He wants to knock the windows out of our car. He wants to bash our foreheads in. But he controls it anyway and loves us in spite of it. What are you saying, Gavin? What I'm saying this morning is that we need to stop playing with God's emotions. Young men, let me give you a piece of side advice. Don't play with a woman's emotions. Because when you play with her emotions, she can have a violent side.
Amen, brother.
But the same thing comes to God. God loves you so much, and if you keep on going after other gods, God has a wrathful side that we have not seen yet, and things that start happening, you'll never know what hit them. Somebody needs to know that we need to stop playing with God's emotions. We need to stop playing with God's blessings. We need to stop playing with God's business. If God told you to do something, you need to do it. If you stood before this altar and said that, God, I'm going to give you my life, you shouldn't forget that when you go out these doors, because when you do that, you're playing with God's emotions. I was looking at a sister here this morning. You done fell for game all your life. You believed him when he told you that he was going to love you. You believed him when he told you that you were the only one. And when you found out the opposite, you wanted to kill that man. But guess what? Every time you stand here and cry before God and declare that you're going to change your life, and you go and do the opposite of what you've been taught, you playing with God's emotions. But thanks be to God that he's a big enough God to know that you lying and still love you anyway. You ain't running no game on God. You ain't fooling God. God knew that you was just down here crying. He knew that you was just down here snotting. And he said, when they get ready to change, then I will touch them. But until then, I'm just going to cover them with my love. Y'all don't want to help me preach this morning. It's an intestinal reaction. But the next thing that this text teaches us is that God ignores reality. Let me show it to you. You don't get it yet. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies. That ye present your bodies. Now, I have a problem with that, because if you're presenting something to somebody, that means that somebody doesn't know about what you're presenting. If I'm presenting you a gift, theoretically, you're not supposed to know what the gift is when I present it to you. It's supposed to be a surprise to you. So when you're presenting something to somebody, what you are presenting is supposed to be disclosed or undisclosed to the person receiving it. But theologically, brothers and sisters, we know that God is an all-knowing God. That every fault that you have, he knows everything about it. So God gives you the chance. He says that even though I know everything about them, I'm going to give them the chance to present themselves to me how they want to be seen. God knows that you're a sinner, but he lets you present yourself to him as a saint. God knows that my lips can lie, but he's allowing me right now to present myself as a preacher. God knows that you feel with hell, but he allows you to present yourself as an innocent, sweet angel. So he ignores what he knows about you and gives you a chance to present your own self to him. You know the reason why you need to come into church with more fiber and with more activity in your limbs? Because God is giving you a chance right now. He said, I've seen everything you've done already. I know the snaps that you snapped. I know the DMs that you sent. I know the text messages that you sent. I know the places that you were. I know the plots that you plotted. But what I'm going to do for a little while, I'm going to forget about all of that, and I'm going to give you a clean slate. Now show me what you got. Show him what you got, New Zion. He knows you've been living with hell all week. He knows you've been plotting and scheming all week. He knows you don't want to do this, but for a little while, God gives you the chance to say, I'm going to let you present yourself to me. Let me stop for a minute. The world has presented our young people in all types of ways. The world has presented our boys as thugs. He's presented our young ladies as angry women. He's presented our young people as fast, promiscuous, thuggish, gangsters, because of what we show them. Amen. But despite what we show them, we need to present ourselves based upon what God has told us that we are. So you may think that I'm a thug, but I'm a saved thug. You may think that I'm a gangster, but I'm a sanctified gangster. You may think that I'm bad, but I'm righteously bad. You may think that I'm angry, but I'm anointed. You see me this way, but the way that God sees me, he sees me as high. He sees me as lifted up. He sees me as the head and not the tail. So you mean to tell me that this is the best presentation that you got? And the reason that we're not blessed is not because we are showing the world certain things, but when God gives us the chance to present ourselves to him, this is the best that we get. Teaching is going on all around town in this church, but we present him half attendance. We're in the worship experience right now. We present him sleep. And not only do we present him sleep, but we present him adults letting the young people sleep. That hurt, didn't it? And if we make up in our minds that we control our own destiny through God, we will be a much better people. So what, the teacher don't like me? I'm going to present myself as somebody intelligent. So what, they trying to always throw me in-house? I'm going to sit in class and mind. I'm not going to talk to nobody. I'm going to sit and get my lesson, as the old folks say, because I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice unto God. I'm going to pick my head up. I'm going to pull my pants up. I'm going to say yes, sir. I'm going to say no, sir. I'm going to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I'm going to look you in the eye because I know who I am, and I'm going to present myself to you like I'm presenting myself to God. And if God says I can have it, I can have it. You may not want me to have it, but because I presented myself to him, I will have it. Listen, listen, listen. I have a job right now, not necessarily by how I presented myself to the employer, but because I present myself to God in the right way, God can touch the heart of the employer and bless me with the job. You see me as all regular Gavin, but if I present myself to God right, he can work on the heart of men in high places, and that when you see me getting elevated, don't get mad at me. God just allowed me to present myself to him right, and when I presented myself to him right, your opinion don't matter. You worry about the wrong people. The people you worry about ain't got the power. But when you put yourself in the right eyes of God, God will give you what's called favor. And we don't know what we're talking about when we use that word, but the favor of God is him giving you things that you are not qualified for. He's giving you aids that you did not earn, giving you degrees that you ain't smart enough to get because you present yourself to him right. Let me argue with myself some more. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. That word within itself is a dichotomy, because a living sacrifice doesn't really go hand in hand. Can I teach the Bible for a little while? A sacrifice is supposed to die. A sacrifice is not supposed to be alive. So what it's saying is that even though you are sacrificing time to God, it ain't gonna kill you. New Zion, you don't want to hear this, but it won't kill you to open your Bibles. It won't kill you to come to Sunday school. It won't kill you to come to BTU. Grown people, it won't kill you to pay your tithe. It won't kill you to give your offering, because even though you're a sacrifice, God has twisted the thing and made you be a living sacrifice. Let me dig a little bit further. a sacrifice in the Old Testament was a sacrifice on behalf of somebody else. That the sacrifice was supposed to benefit another third party. If I had sinned, I would sacrifice a lamb on my behalf, because the lamb was thought to be pure, even though it was really not the most adequate sacrifice. You would sacrifice something else on the behalf of your own sins. Are y'all here with me? And so the sacrifice was supposed to die and receive nothing as a result of it. But God has switched this thing. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, God is no longer needing a death sacrifice. He just now wants to give you the benefit of being a sacrifice for him. A sacrifice in the Bible, in a New Testament theology or New Testament doctrine, as a sacrifice is not supposed to give you life per se, but being a sacrifice now after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, sacrificing is supposed to make you closer to God. And since now you are closer to God, you are now in God, and God is in you. And if you are in God, and God is in you, that means that you have the protection of God. Are y'all here with me? So that means that the way that you are going to be protected in life is by spending most of your time sacrificing to God. Don't spend time in the wrong places. Spend more time sacrificing to God. You know the reason that you're still alive sometimes now? It's because when certain things were about to go bad in a party, God has you in prayer meeting. So you are a living sacrifice to God. And since you were in communication with him, he spared your life. And what we need to do right now in Winfield, times are getting dangerous, times are getting hellacious, times are getting violent, but I declare by the Holy Spirit today that if we get more people spending time sacrificing their time to God, God will protect everybody, that no matter what goes on around you, because you're spending your time sacrificing to God, God will cover you in the midst of bullets. God will cover you in the midst of tornadoes. God will cover you in the midst of mass shootings, because when you could have been out there, God has you in here praying to God. We need to be protected from life. And what you want to do to be protected from life? You may think it ain't cool right now, but you need to spend your time serving God. You need to spend your time studying the Word of God. Your friends may think that you lame. Your friends may think that you corny. But when life happens to them and life don't happen to you, you'll understand that the reason that it didn't happen to me is not because I'm good, but God had me sacrificing time unto him. And that's the doctrine of sanctification, because God sets you apart. That everybody may see you, but they can't get to you, because God has you set aside for a particular purpose. God has me protected even in the midst of my enemies. God has me on a college campus every day. But I believe by God that since he sanctified me, that even the people around me are blessed because I'm there. Even the people around me are prospering because I'm there. Not because I'm amazing, but God has me sanctified. Sanctified for him. I've bored you long enough. But the last thing that this text does, it includes requirements. It says, holy and acceptable unto God. Not holy and acceptable unto your parents. Not holy and acceptable unto a youth leader. Not holy and acceptable unto a preacher, but holy and acceptable unto God. Can I insult New Zion this morning? The problem in our youth ministry, or with our youth today, is that we have adults putting the brakes on the youth. And we think that youth, just because they're young, can't go to certain levels in God. We think that certain things are too hard for our young people to learn. We think that things are too hard for our young people to grasp. And the reason that adults think that is because adults are so filled with hell that those things are too hard for them. But just because it may be too hard for you to do, don't mean it's too hard for them to do. So what we need to do is blow the roof off this church. Blow the roof off our youth ministry and start raising the standards and start raising the criteria and start raising the qualifications. Yes, they can learn it. If they can do it on their phones, they can learn about God. If they can learn about YouTube, they can YouTube things of God. They can learn the 66 books. They can learn that it's 39 in the old and 27 in the new. They can learn them by heart. They can learn scriptures. They can learn doctrine. Just because you don't want to learn it, don't mean that they can't learn it. So stop hindering ministry because of what you don't want to do. Mom and daddy, you may have been bad, but that don't mean they're going to do the same thing you did. You may not want to learn about God, but send them to church anyway. Because if you don't want to do it, they may end around and mess around and save your whole household because they are holy and acceptable unto God. It may be outside of our expectations, but God knows what he's put on the inside of them. And if God knows what he put on the inside of them, woe be unto us to hinder that. I'm out of here when I tell you this. I apologize for this horrible exposition. But it says that this is our reasonable service. Reasonable service. I've grown up my whole life thinking that reasonable service simply just means this is the least that I can do. Come on. That reasonable service is they saying that after all I've done, the least that you can do is that. But after I did a word study on this word reasonable, I realized that the word reasonable comes from the same Greek word as logos. And the word logos means word. So this is my word-based service. So everything that I do, I don't just make it up out the seat of my pants. I do it based upon the word of God. That if the word of God says that we don't need to do it, we don't need to do it. If the word of God says that we can do it, then we need to strive to do it. If the word of God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then we need to stop doing all things through what I feel like and I don't have the strength to do. But let me push it further. Logos is not just a book. I ain't got no clothes for you today. Logos is more importantly a person. Let me teach you. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Logos word. And the Logos word was God. And that Logos that was the word is the same thing as Jesus Christ. So what the text really means, New Zion, is that I give my body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is my Christ-like service. And the word service in the text means worship. So it's saying that what you do for Christ is not for as unto yourself, but you're acting as Jesus Christ and you're presenting your God as a Christ-like worship. And as I go to my seat this morning, I want to tell you that Christ worshiped for you and I. He went to the cross and died for you and I. They nailed him and they pierced him and they killed him and they crucified him. But that ain't how the story ended, beloved. The Logos stayed dead for 3 days. But the Logos got up on that third day morning. And I want to speak to some Logos in the house this morning. You ain't Jesus Christ. You ain't the perfect Savior. But God has given you Christ deep down on the inside of you. So even though worship may hurt sometimes, even though sacrifice may hurt sometimes, it will not kill you because God has given you the power to get back up again. And if we want Winfield to be blessed, we need to go take the Logos out there. We need to go take our sacrificing out there. We need to start talking about things that are holy, acceptable, and righteous to God, because God wants us to give Christ-like worship. God's tired of begging you, New Zion. Young, old, all across this room, God says no more begging you. I heard it so clearly all week. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. You're not hurting God. You're hurting yourself. We're going to open up these doors. We're going to have church if we're here by ourselves. You can participate if you want to. But God says no more begging you. If you can pay attention from, or half pay attention from 8 to 3 every day, this ain't enough for you to pay attention to right here. If you can pay your bills on time halfway, you can pay your tithes and offering. If you don't disobey your boss at work, don't disobey leadership at church. God is through begging you. You ought to be embarrassed if God has had to beg you to do anything. If you let your disagreements with people stop you from worship, you ought to be embarrassed this morning. If you let your dislike for another person make you stop coming to church, you ought to be embarrassed this morning. But through it all, God bless you anyway. And the thing about it, after he bless you, you still didn't do no better. You came here and cried out at the altar. Everybody had to stop and pause thinking that this was your moment. But once you walked out of those doors, it was back to life as usual. But once you leave this time, God ain't gonna invite you back. His arms are open. His arms will always be open. But we're not going to keep wasting time on you to do something that God has already told you that you need to do. You know that God requires more effort out of you. You know that God wants to take you higher. But we letting disagreements, not feeling like it, we too tired, got too much going on, stop us from being a perfect sacrifice unto God. We offer Jesus to you today. Come in church like this.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
Why do we lift him up? Why do we give him glory? Can you touch somebody next to him because he's in this room right now? How you probably can't see him, you probably can't feel him. But you're sitting, see, you look at somebody behind you, tell them he's here right now. And tell them because he's here, everything you need is here. I need all our worshipers, open up your mouth and give him glory. Come on, worshipers, lift up your voice. Come on, singers, come on.
throne seat, King of Kings.